Ich wusste nicht,
I didn't know who and what to expect here this morning. At first we planned to be together as brothers, but many of the brothers couldn't come because they had already planned the time. And so I think we do well when we all come before the face of God with the needs or whatever may move us. We have received much in terms of teaching and revelation of the Word, more than in any church age. But when it comes to our life of faith, when it comes to our desire to be a blessing to others, that God could use us and that He could take what may still be holding us back, what may be bothering others. And very often we don't even notice that there can be something strange about us that disturbs others. And everything that disturbs does not serve to promote the unity of the Spirit, but to destroy it. And we must always be careful when Paul writes about the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. There he says, these gifts of the Spirit are given for the edification of the whole church. Everything that is of divine origin connects us to God and leads us to God. Anything that is of our own origin will set others against us and draw some line that cannot be crossed, because people who are led by the Spirit of God cannot always say yes to anything unless it has come from the Spirit of God. And the Holy Scripture says that the gifts, maybe we should read it from 1 Corinthians 12. You all know, we believe God's Word, and we believe that the gifts of the Spirit are to be effective. And so let us read from 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. No matter who is used by God, in whatever way, the same Spirit that works in the individual who is used of God, the same Spirit is active in all who are to come into the blessing of what God now desires to give, speak, or work through this individual. Because it is the Holy Spirit who works all in all. not who works in one only, but who works all in all. And if that is the case, we have no difficulty at all with ourselves or with those who are supposed to hear what the Spirit of God gives. If he or she who is to be used of God is led by the Spirit of God, then all who are to receive are also led by the same Spirit to accept it, to receive it, and to be blessed thereby. Then it goes on to say, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, that is, for the building up of the whole church. And then it goes on to say, for to the one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and so forth. But all this is done by one and the same Spirit. And we would like, in this place, that we all submit to the working of the Spirit of God. That there is nothing of our own, but that the Lord might work all things in all. First of all, the vessels that God wants to use must be cleansed so that the Spirit of God can speak and work freely without hindrance and without human intervention. But if the vessel is not cleansed, suppose we were to read now from Matthew chapter 6, where it is written, therefore, thus ye shall pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And then it goes on to say, in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then it says in verse 14, which is as important as all the others, and also verse 15, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then it says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Everything, no matter who, where, or what, if we make a show of ourselves with what we do, whether it is fasting or praying, whether it is singing or preaching, whatever it may be, if we want to make a show of ourselves to the people, then our reward is gone, and we do not then need to hinder ourselves if others also do not reward us insofar as they do not even hear what we have said. One simply has to respect the divine order and allow oneself to be placed Whoever wants to be used by God must first humble himself under God's word and allow himself to be divinely placed. Now here it says, if we do not forgive others, and this is a thing that can be among believers as the worst root of bitterness and evil, whereby we destroy ourselves in our spiritual life, if we have not become free from everything that we think we have to blame on someone else. It is even said, when you come to the altar to offer the sacrifice to God, and there you realize that your brother has something against you, then leave the sacrifice and first go to your brother and reconcile yourself with him. But if someone wants to be used by God and he realizes that my brother has something against me, and then he will tremble and be afraid, and what comes then cannot be a blessing for anyone. If we realize that the moment we come to the altar of God, that our brother has something against us, then we don't have to put on our stubborn head and say, Lord, I'm going through now. Go through where? Where do we want to go through? The Lord says, I will not let you go through. I have given my word here, and if you feel that your brother has something against you and you want to get away with it, then go to the brother. This is my getting through for you. That is the door I am opening for you. That is the way that I show you. And then you will see my salvation and experience my power. This is the way of our God. If we would heed the word of God in all things, then we would be helped. And then there would be nothing in the church of the Lord that we could not go along with. On the contrary, it would be sunshine and roses. Let no one here have the impression that we do not rejoice when God can use someone. On the contrary, it is a deep and intimate joy when God can bless and use individuals or everyone. And we notice, when it is the Spirit of God speaking, what a reaction, what an echo there is when the Lord our God speaks in our midst. You notice that your heart begins to burn, because it is written, did not our heart burn when he spoke to us? It is a testimony that the Holy Spirit gives to each individual when it is he who works and speaks and reveals himself. You all know, I have already said it here, when we heard Brother Branham for the first time, everything was new to us. None of the things we saw and heard were known to us. But we went with an open heart to experience God. And when the man entered the platform, there was something in my heart. I could have cried. Such a lovely atmosphere. He entered the platform, and it seemed with him came the glory, the peace, and the blessing of God. Other evangelists were heard. There the curtain was drawn, and then it was announced, now God's man will come to us. And with a great rumbling, they came to the microphone and grabbed it. And then it went back and forth. But it was very different with Brother Branham. No show at all, nothing. Plain and simple. A small man comes on the platform and asks, do you love the Lord Jesus? Yes, it was like a self poured out. We all knew, now the Lord is here. And it was actually very wonderful. After all, we didn't know anything about him. If someone had written to us that an evangelist called Müller-Meyer or whatever was going to speak there, then it would have almost been the same to us. But there was something in our hearts to go there and hear. We saw him telling people where they come from, who they are, how often they were operated. He said to a man, you come from Berlin, I see the city, your wife is at home, sick. And to another woman, you come from Hamburg, and wherever the people came from. We didn't know what to do with it or how to place all this. But all the time, our hearts were burning because we knew God was in the matter. And this I may say to the glory of the Lord. Not for one moment did I doubt. Not for one moment. And to many who doubt what God is doing, I would advise that they firstly doubt themselves to then come to the perfect faith so that they can trust that God works by grace. Well, in a smaller sense, it is the same with every child of God. We do not come here to be heard or seen. We come into the presence of God with fear and trembling, saying, Lord, use whom thou wilt. Take my brothers, take my sisters, and bless them from the riches of your grace. Well, actually, we didn't want to talk about that. We want to talk about the things that may still be affecting individuals. We know in the book of Acts, it says that people were so impressed by the preaching and by what was happening that they gathered up their magic books and whatever they had and burned it to be completely free from anything that the devil might still have a claim on their lives. And sometimes it's things that the enemy has inspired that are in our homes, where the enemy can get to. And this reminds me now of the beginning we had here in Krefeld a good 15 years ago, when we were in a prayer meeting in the apartment of Brother and Sister Borg on Inrather Street, and suddenly there was a revelation that there was a magazine in the house with horoscope and all that devilish stuff. And the sister says, we don't have anything like that in the house. But in the revelation, it was shown and said, unless this magazine is taken out of the house, before that I cannot bless. And Sister Borg was surprised herself, and it was discovered that someone had come to the door and sold a magazine without knowing what was going on with it. And suddenly, our Sister Borg finds not Brother Alfred Borg's wife, but Brother Alfred Borg's mother. She finds and brings the magazine and says, "Brethren, I really didn't know about it when this was said here. But what God reveals, that's true." And then we burned that thing. Who was there at the time? Brother Alfred Borg? Brother Reinhold Illing? Yes, we have at least 5, 6, 7 people here. Here, Brother Luke? Yes, sir. And the victory of God was manifested in a very mighty way. We may say, "Huh, I don't believe in it." Yes, the enemy doesn't always ask whether we believe or not. He says, "You have my inspired things in your house. And where my inspired word is, there I have my right." If we take that the other way around, then we can say, where God's inspired word is, there God has his right on the people. But where there are things inspired by the enemy, we may say, "Huh, it's just a book." And there are people who are very pious. They say, "We have even the 6th and the 7th book of Moses." That's not the way it works. We must be able to discern which things the enemy has a right to and exercises and asserts this right over us. And we have to get rid of these things, regardless of losses. In the Bible, they added up the value, and who knows where it is in the book of Acts. It was a great sum, a great amount that had come together if you added up the value of the books that were burned, if you added that up. But I tell you, the value that those people got from God after the books were burned was not comparable to what had gone down the drain in Mammon. And so we must be able to separate ourselves from everything that is not of divine origin. And there are people who sometimes look for the fault here and there, just not where it might be found. Some say, "Perhaps it has not been prayed loud enough for me, and maybe not been anointed enough," and so forth. No, Brother Branham says, if a demon still has a right, then we can pour a whole liter of oil on his head and pray until our voice is no more, and the demon will remain, unless we have thrown out what the devil has a right to. And then the victory of God can be manifested. So, if you want to look at it that way, actually everything has already happened on Calvary. The powers of darkness are disarmed and publicly pilloried, and God triumphed in Christ over all the powers of darkness. Not that someone here starts saying, yes, the power of Satan is so great. The power of Satan is not so great at all. We are dealing with the omnipotence of God that has defeated the power of the enemy. But when things are there that the enemy has the right to, and sometimes those stories sound like a phantom, when people tell you what is going on in homes here and there, and you wonder why. We need to examine ourselves before the face of God whether the enemy still has a claim on us in any way through anything that we are guilty of. We know that Jesus Christ has purchased us and that we are an absolute and complete possession of the Lord. But we must cut off the enemy's last chance that he may no longer irritate us, but that when things come upon us from without, that we may recognize them, that we may see through them and know now the enemy wants to have his hand in this. It is not the person, not the brother, not the sister. It is now the enemy who wants to do harm here. And that we then do not blame the brother and not the sister, but simply say, Satan, get thee behind me. What have I to do with you? The Lord Jesus did not say to Peter, Peter, get thee behind me. He spoke to Satan. The Lord could distinguish between Peter and the inspiration of the enemy. If we were to say to a brother today, Satan, get thee behind me, and the brother be angry with us unto death and after. But it was not so with Peter. Peter had heard the voice of the Lord. Follow me. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, let us not take offense. Whatever may be said, we thank God for it and accept it. And so we are helped. Peter could recognize himself later on, and he always felt so strong and said, Lord, if everybody leaves you, I won't. And the Lord says to Peter, listen, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. What was it? The Lord Jesus allowed it so that even such a man who means so well, who still feels strong in himself, he must realize, O Lord, without your strength, it is an undertaking that cannot be put into practice. But with your strength, I can do all things. And Paul says later, I can do all things through him who strengthened me. And that is Christ. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus has come to help those who are weary and heavy laden. He said, the healthy have no need of a physician, but the sick do. And this morning, no one should be considerate of themselves, but just simply, when he feels, I am still burdened, something is troubling me, I cannot cope with it, then we should have the courage and say, Lord, here I am. I do not come to the brothers. I come to you and believe that when the brothers lay their hands on me, that you help me and that your hands are laid on me. We cannot help anyone, but we can believe with you and we can become one, whether two or three or all of us, and ask and know that the Lord has given the promise that He alone can and will help us all. Here's another word I would like to read from Deuteronomy 18. Here it is written from verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And if we look up other scriptures, then it says, Lord, the enemies have entered your sanctuary, but the time has come when they had to go, because what they have been up to has been exposed. And like then, when the Lord Jesus went into the temple, He cleaned up, He overturned, He whipped some of them, and He said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. The understanding that God has given us about the things that are happening now in the kingdom of God is that in the last days all things should be restored and set in order divinely. Now, to come back to this subject and bring it to a close, why did the Lord Jesus say, all who were afflicted by the devil, they came to Him? They were the depressed, those in despair, those in distress. And if you look at it the right way, the Lord turned to these people in a very special way, with all His love and care and grace, and took care of them. The scribes were rebuked by Him sharply, but He loved sinners. He healed the sick. He freed the possessed. He helped. And we read that He went about doing good and helping everywhere He went. I mean that we don't need to be ashamed, but that we can come to the Lord. And sometimes it can happen that people themselves have done nothing at all, that the sin of the fathers is visited down to the third and fourth generation, and they don't know it. They struggle and toil and don't know that somehow and somewhere the enemy wants to claim a right over them. This shall be different this morning. This morning, we want to stand in perfect faith on the victory ground of Golgotha and say, Lord, whether we ourselves are to blame, whether our ancestors were to blame, it is written, all our iniquities were laid upon him. He was punished and martyred for our sin and iniquity. And today we go out free. We must not only see one side, we must also see the other. What good would it do us to say, God punishes the sin of the fathers? And that is not just any sin, but everything that was done and made by the inspiration of Satan. That is what God punishes upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Many things could be said about it, but you know that God's word says that the sin of the fathers is punished, not when today one has cheated the other a little bit. That is not what is meant, but the sin that is an abomination in the sight of God, the sin where people have gone to the enemy's ground and have been under the direct inspiration of the devil. These are the sins that God punishes. We don't need to search and say, Lord, how was it with my grandpa or my great-grandfather? That is not the matter. But to be very sure, let us bring it over our lips today with all our heart and say, my God, you have placed us out of darkness into the light. You have taken the curse from us and blessed us. Every right that the enemy had by one's own fault or down to the faults of others, he has lost these rights. I belong to the Lord Jesus for time and for eternity. In such a moment, something is happening, and the enemy has been exposed with his schemes. On the cross of Calvary, the powers of the enemy have been exposed and were named and shamed publicly. But all of us must also expose the things of the enemy and bring them to light so that it may be revealed and the enemy can no longer do anything or assert his right. But that everything may be completely subject to the Lord. Here, the Lord God instructed Moses that no one should use any superstition or sorcery. Sometimes you find it among the people. They have done this and that to their children. One should not think it possible. Some see something here and something there. One does not even dare to say the things. but somehow they immediately think of something and say, oh, now something is going to happen because a cat has crossed the path. Yes, do you know that is so common among people and hundreds of other things? Whether a cat or a dog runs across the path, what does that bother me? I'm not going to tie them up. What is it? Insofar as man thinks something at that moment, Satan's inspiration strikes him and something happens as sure as he believed the thing. And already Job says, what I feared has come upon me. It happens. Why? Because in fear is not God and not the love of God. In fear is Satan. And the moment fear comes upon us and we give ear to it, the enemy gives us some thought and we are frightened and believe it. And already it happens, an accident and all sorts of things. Just because we believed the thing that suddenly inspired us. That is not to be anymore. We are not people who interpret any signs, even if there were signs. We have the scripture, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not that some animal crosses your way, but on the sick they will lay their hands. What we need are biblical signs and wonders that are manifested by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the church for blessing and salvation. But all these other things, not that we want to deal with it lightly. We don't, but we want to say to you, let us not be occupied with the things that the enemy does, but with what God has done in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then fear will turn into the fear of God. And then the inspiration of the Holy Spirit will strike us. I know that one or the other, or maybe even all of you, have things here and there that you cannot cope with. Today, the Lord wants to give us rest for our souls. He wants to take away the distress and the burden from us. He wants to set us completely free, that we may become joyful in Him, and that the divine inspiration of the Word and Spirit may come upon us and take hold of us, so that the Holy Spirit may be poured out upon us all. We know that the Lord has made the promises, and He is fulfilling them. Whether that is for all today, or for one, or for some, God knows. But the Holy Scripture says, when one member suffers, the whole body of the Lord suffers. We have become members of one body, and Christ is the head. And we would that He might fully and completely manifest His victory. Shall we plead for grace and power from God today, that we may no longer do anything in unbelief and doubting, and thus place ourselves in the enemy's realm? What did Brother Branham say? He said, as surely as faith taketh away thy sickness from thee, so surely unbelief brings it back again. And therefore the Lord Jesus said, go and sin no more. And Brother Branham says, this word there, sin no more, includes or means and doubt no more. Do not doubt what I have done to you. Otherwise, it will come back to you. If today we can understand what God has done for us, we cannot doubt. It is impossible, for God has shown Himself mighty in us. And there are three things that we must take to heart in our prayer. The power of the blood of atonement, and the power of the Word, and the power of the Spirit. When these three things, Jesus, Word, and blood, and Spirit, make my heart glad, then everything will be different. But this too must happen in faith, not in unbelief, not in timidity, but with full conviction, with joy, not being cramped, but with a joy. Christ does not have to die first. He has died. He doesn't have to redeem me first. He has redeemed. He doesn't have to pay the price first. He has paid. We are His own. And therefore, we can rejoice in the Lord our God. And why does Paul write, the joy in the Lord is my strength. Whatever may have been in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of your ancestors, look to Jesus today. That's what we heard in the translated sermon. Look away from all other things and look to Jesus, the beginner and finisher of your faith. He will make it well. There are people who pray in doubt and in unbelief. And sometimes, the longer they pray, the more despondency comes upon them. And then they get up after a long time and are completely dissatisfied with themselves and with everyone else. It doesn't have to stay like that and be like that. Today, we are to come to the Lord as the weary and burdened ones. And we should say, Lord, here I lay down myself and everything that has weighed me down. Accept me as your own, and may your eternal arms carry me and be spread out under me, as we read in the Word of God. A songwriter sings, probably in reference to the words from Deuteronomy, where Moses says, He has carried His people like an eagle carries his young on eagle's wings. Brothers and sisters, we do not say that believers go through life without difficulties, but we do say that believers know where to go with their difficulties. We do not say that believers have absolutely no problems, but we say the believers know where to go with their problems. They know the way, and they come to the Lord, and they tell Him, and then they become joyful again and walk on their way. that we could understand this morning, all the power of Satan is destroyed. He may walk around like a roaring lion, but the word says, the lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome. He has conquered. The other would also like to act like a lion. He would like to devour. But we are in the hand of Him who was victorious, to whom all power in heaven and on earth has been given. And the Holy Scripture says, the Son of God came that He might destroy the works of the devil. Also in our lives, in my life, we want nothing more than for God's work to be built up in us and that we could become a blessing to others. We had special prayer hours here on Monday and Tuesday for our youth, and we experienced a consecration before the face of God. And I think that today all of us who want to come to the Lord should come and rededicate our lives to Him, telling Him everything that moves us, that depresses us, that causes us distress, that we cannot cope with, and tell Him plainly, Lord, whatever may have been and has come over my life, now Your grace has come over me, and the past no longer applies, but the Lord has made everything well and has helped us all by grace. Even if the prayer at the beginning is a little bit timid, and perhaps we still repent of this and that which we have done, but that then this praying and repenting could turn into joy and peace, that this hour could end with a service of praise and thanksgiving, because here we will have experienced and witnessed the victory of our God. And where it is, it can be heard. It resounds far and wide. The victory of our God shall be made known to us all today through the grace and power of God. Do you all believe it is possible? Most surely. And perhaps this was not for everyone. Be patient. We do not want anyone to be put to shame. We want no one to be left behind. God wants everyone to be helped. And therefore, we want to do as the people of Israel under Joshua did. The 2.5 tribes helped the other tribes until they too came into the possession of the promised land. So let us also pray for one another and with one another until all have come into possession of deliverance and redemption and forgiveness, so that you may say, from this day forth, may the storms roar and the winds rage. I look up with confidence, for You have helped me, have stretched out Your arm, and have given me the victory by grace. Hallelujah! Be unto the Lord our God, who will show Himself glorious in us all. Amen. Let us rise. God is holy, and His holiness encamps around us. Now in this moment, the holiness of God encamps us. Let us
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh God, have I not spoken to you? Have I not shown you my instructions? Behold, I have spoken to my people from the beginning, and I have not yet changed, even in these days, in your days, in your times. I have spoken to you through my word, by my spirit, by everything I have spoken. Why do you not pay full attention to what I say? Why? Repent and put off everything that is still of your own. Lay yourselves on my altar, that I may purify you, that I may sanctify you. But as long as there is old leaven in you, I cannot put my word into you, and I cannot fully accomplish in you what I want to accomplish. But the hour has come, and if you do not pay attention to my word and to my instructions,